159 Ivy Street, Chapter 8. Thinning of the Veil, Natalie, do you want to come to the movies with us? Josephine's voice sounded steadier than she felt. The invitation was genuine but also strategic, an unconscious grasp for ballast. Natalie was an anchor. Natalie was reality. Natalie would tell her whether she was floating or falling. Don't ask. I have no idea what Anthony wants to go see. He's checking it online. Jose, Anthony is a great kid, but I had him all night, so thanks, but no thanks. It's New Year's Day, and I should be heading home anyway, so have fun, you too. Natalie didn't want to hear any more about Braden, not because she wasn't happy for Josephine, but because happiness this fragile made her nervous. As much as Jose has drunk from this potion, she was worried that it's poisonous and someone would be in a lot of pain. Natalie slid her coat on slowly, watching Josephine over the collar. They hugged for a long time, the kind that said I'm here even if I don't approve, before she headed for the door. Josephine wanted Natalie to stay, but she had no right to ask. She has already asked too much that made the last 10 hours possible with Brad. Josephine wanted another affirming voice that her feelings for Brad were more than just a fleeing and eluding out-of-control fantasy. Natalie stepped back and searched her face. Just be careful. I know, Jose whispered. Natalie didn't look convinced. When the door closed, the apartment fell quiet again. Not empty, full, too full. Josephine sat on the couch and stared into nothing. Her heart felt like it had been stretched thin and luminous, like tissue held up to light. She startled. Anthony stood in the doorway, vibrating with excitement. Guess what movie we are watching? In her deep thoughts, Josephine didn't realize Anthony was in the living room. She was jolted out of her trance. Honey, I have no idea what movie is out there. Just tell me, what are we watching? Okay, Mom, I will tell you. I want to see Dune. It's a sci-fi action movie with giant worms, so cool. Anthony had a big smile on his face. He was not feeling any effects from the limited amount of sleep at Natalie's. Couldn't say the same for Josephine. She's into her third cup of coffee, and she's still laboring in pain from sleeping on the floor. Really, honey? It sounds like a horrible movie. You are sure that's what you want? Josephine regretted that she allowed Anthony to pick the movie. She didn't have a choice when she upped the bribe, so Anthony would stay with Natalie after Times Square. Dune, really? Brad would probably like that kind of movie. I wish you were here to take Anthony to watch the movie so I can sleep. Yeah, Mom, I think I will like it a lot, especially the giant worms. The show is at 3:45, so we have 2 hours, okay, Mom? Josephine couldn't say no to Anthony while he seemed so happy. He has an Xbox, then spent New Year's Eve at Times Square, and now a movie. Life is great, and he's a great kid. He deserves to be happy. 2 hours. I could survive 2 hours. Okay, she said. Dune it is, we will leave at 3, yeah. Thanks, Mom, love you a bunch. Anthony whooped and disappeared back to his game. Josephine went to her bedroom and then closed the door. Her body still ached from the floor from the night from holding herself together for too long. If I lie down for an hour, I will never wake up. I got to keep awake. I wonder what Brad is up to. Should I call him? Maybe he's sleeping. She picked up the phone that was still on the floor since her last call. She's dialed the number 1-416-70. The temperature in Broaden's living room had dropped to something just above punishment. The hole in the broken window of the living room had relentlessly invited all the New Year's Day chills. Lisa hadn't planned to come over. That was the lie she told herself as she stood in the cold outside Broaden's house, red dress catching daylight in a way that felt almost obscene. The truth was simpler and far more dangerous. She couldn't leave without knowing. California waited for her sun, power, reinvention. She built her life on exits, on knowing when to walk away before something rooted too deeply. But Braden had always been the anomaly. 4 years of lunches. Late nights. Inside jokes that no one else understood. Watching him love other women quietly, carefully, never her. Watching herself pretend it didn't matter. And then last night. Seeing him behind the bar with Amanda, laughing in a way she hadn't seen in years, something had snapped. Time is stealing from us, she'd thought. Standing in his doorway now, she saw it immediately. The house was broken. So was Bradley. With mouth wide open, Braden stood still holding the front while Lisa was standing in the middle of the doorframe. Well, Bradley, Lisa said lightly, standing in the doorway, her breath fogging in the cold. Will you invite me in, or should I just stand here so we can both freeze? She smiled. Lisa had that smile that would be a sailor's dream to launch 1,000 ships. He remembered her red party dress with the deep plunge line was more than just a dress. It was an Audrey Hepburn movie. Braden was trying hard not to be distracted. He recalled last night waiting by the bar for Lisa so they could talk about her departure. He remembered the way she moved her hair while charming the pants off the guys around her. He just realized that she was in the same dress. That's the Lisa I know. Poised with deadly venom, everyone wants a taste of her poison. Damn, Lisa, sorry. Come on in. It's not much warmer in here anyway. When Braden hesitated before letting her in, something cold slid down her spine. Not fear, recognition. There's someone else, she thought. She stepped inside, heels clicking softly against the floor. Her gaze dropped immediately to the broken glass on the wood floor near the window. What the hell happened here? Did you have a break-in? Brad, are you okay? Are you hurt? Lisa's tone was genuine, and she cared a lot for her Bradley. A lot more than she wanted to show, except in moments like this where her true feelings are unveiled. No worries, I'm fine. A funny story, really. I forgot my keys and I had to break into my own house. Lisa wasn't laughing. She looked at him, disbelief blooming into concern. The worried look on her face turned into suspicion. This is not the Bradley she knew. Bradley, you're worrying me. This is not like you at all. You are so meticulous. You make situations spontaneous when you spend hours planning them. I know you, Bradley. What's going on with you? Braden noticed that Lisa had brought his coat from the office. Is that my coat? Thanks, Lise. I can't believe I left it at the office. No phone and no keys. I'm such an idiot. Yeah, no problem. You practically sprinted out of the party and almost ran over Emily in the process. Emily said hi, by the way. And don't try to change the subject. What the fuck is going on in your little brain? Lisa was persistent and relentless with her interrogation. Braden winced. I'm a mess. My God, Lise, either you sound like my wife or my mom, I couldn't tell. You want coffee or tea? Braden was trying hard to deflect her questions, but he knew he would fess up eventually. He hadn't decided just how much he would divulge to avoid a full inquisition. Lisa could be the judge, jury, and executioner is one sexy-looking goddess. When people say you can't judge a book by the cover, they were thinking about Lisa. Brad, it's freaking cold in here. I will have a coffee upstairs where I hope it will be warmer. You okay with that? Lisa was not a posing threat, so they retreated to the upper floor to stay warm. Braden had been down this road before, a long time ago. They'd gone to dinner without calling it a date. Just coworkers escaping fluorescent lights and emails that never slept. Lisa had worn black that night, minimal, sharp. He remembered the way she listened when he spoke, like she wasn't waiting to reply. Wine had softened edges. Laughter had filled spaces neither had intended to open. When they'd kissed, it wasn't hunger, it was recognition. Later in her bed, there had been no rush, no performance, just warmth, skin, breath. A night that felt like it had stepped out of time, then politely returned him in the morning without explanation. They never spoke of it again. History tends to repeat itself, and Braden prayed that this would not be the case. As much as any man would die for such a moment, Brad's heart is elsewhere. A thin veil separates alive, gorgeous Lisa, then there's a woman he loves that he has yet to meet. It's crystal clear that his love is precariously translucent like a morning fog, praying that it would vaporize upon sunrise to review his Josephine. Sure, Lise, what do you take in your coffee? Lisa was halfway up the stairs when she called out. I will take mine black. Why am I not surprised? While he was standing by the Nespresso machine waiting for the cycle to complete, Braden was assessing all the possibilities where this scenario was heading. He came to the conclusion that it would be bad in any direction, especially when the first road led to the bedroom upstairs. With the two cups in hand, Braden was guided by his conscience as a compass. Upstairs, warmth returned, but tension replaced it. She sat on his bed without asking, claiming space the way she always had. Bailey curled against her legs, loyal to heat and softness. Braden called out to Lisa. Hey, Lise, where are you? I'm in here. I think it's your bedroom with your dog. He seems to like me. Oh, Bailey, you traitor. You fell for the dress, didn't you? Hey, you met Bailey. I know he's a fat beast of a small-legged Maltese dog, but I love him. Lisa watched Braden carefully as he brought coffee upstairs, the way his eyes avoided hers. The way his body angled away even as his voice stayed gentle. He was already gone, not physically. Emotionally, Lisa replied with a flirtatious smile. The question is, does he love you? Where is she going with this? Braden was perplexed and felt uncomfortable having Lisa in his bedroom. Maybe I'm overthinking this. It's freezing cold downstairs, so this is why we are up here, nothing more. After so many years, I think Bailey and I grew to love each other. Bailey lay on the bed, and so did Lisa. She is resting against the backboard in a sitting position. Her long and slim legs could almost reach the end of the mattress if it wasn't for Bailey by her feet. She looked very comfortable. Bradley, I know that feeling, perhaps too well. Lisa was looking directly at Braden as she said those words. It was evident that he wasn't overthinking while playing out different scenarios over coffee. Lisa's words have taken his breath away. Braden couldn't look anywhere else but at the floor. He didn't dare to meet her gaze with his eyes. Here's your coffee, I hope it's okay. So when are you leaving for California? I'm completely shocked that you came in a good way. But really, what are you doing here? Braden felt like he was in the movie The Graduate, and he was Benjamin. However, Mrs. Robinson was now a young and beautiful goddess who didn't require any seduction. Bradley, I told you last night that I love you, but I wasn't in love with you. I wasn't completely truthful when I said that. After last night, when I saw you behind the bar with the help. Lee's, her name was Amanda. I didn't like it when you referred to her as the help, and I still do like it now. Amanda, that is her name. Braden's tone was firm, and it had nothing to do with the fact that Amanda was a redhead, well, maybe a little, his kryptonite. Okay, you're right, sorry, Amanda. When you were behind the bar with Amanda, it struck me just how much time we have let slip by since that night. Do you remember? He swallowed. Every detail. Her voice dropped. Then tell me why we never talked about it. I know we are not one-night stand people, and I also know that it meant something to you. It meant a lot to me, too. Even though we kept dancing around it at the office, I know there's something there to be nurtured or seeking closure. Her eyes glistened. Silence fell, thick and intimate. So I want to know, I really need to know, Bradley, do you want me to stay? A long moment of breathless silence while they were looking directly into each other's eyes. Whatever comes out of Broaden's mouth in the next few seconds would determine his path, which was once paved with uneven cobblestones. He's not confused, but his vision was blurred, and his heart is pounding against his chest. It's not because of love, but knowingly, he's about to lose a friend, his best friend of 4 years. Lisa, why haven't we spoken about that night? I don't know what you want me to say. I don't know what I want to say. I don't want you to go, but it's not for the reason that you want, nor for the reason why you came. God, Lisa, I adore you, but not in the way that the other guys in the office gawked at you. I love you because you mean so much to me. You see me as who I am, you're Bradley. But I think Kali is so lucky to have you. Lisa nodded, tears spilling freely now. Braden has never seen Lisa cry in the 4 years they have known each other. She had always been the strong woman who took no prisoners and was without mercy. He had never seen any hint of unguarded emotions from Lisa until now. Lisa had her legs bent so her head rested over her thighs, while tears were dripping off her face. Braden felt helpless. There's nothing he could say to change the moment. What he said was clear, and the moment was to seek closure to what could have been. The veil is removed, and the past will remain in the past. Bradley, can you sit beside me, please? That was not what Braden had expected. He envisioned anger and a lot of yelling, but Lisa's reaction caught him completely off guard. Braden walked over to the bed and then knelt on the floor, close enough to feel the heat of Lisa's body, far enough to know the distance was intentional. He didn't touch her. That was the hardest part. Touch would have been easier. Touch would have blurred lines, postponed endings, created a softer lie they both could live inside for a few more hours. But restraint, that required truth. From a distance, Braden could hear a faint ringtone. It's his cell phone in his coat, sitting on the couch downstairs, it's ringing. Lisa, I'm sorry, I have to get my phone. It felt like rescue and damnation all at once. As he ran downstairs, heart pounding, Braden knew something fundamental had shifted. Not because of the phone ringing, but because for the first time he understood what it meant to choose forward instead of familiar. Desperation was the motivator, and it was again now. To get away from a situation where he may have dire regrets and consequences. Run, Bradley, run upstairs, Lisa listened to his footsteps fade. She didn't follow. She already had her answer. The cell phone kept ringing, and by count, it's close to checking out to voicemail. Braden reached into the coat's pocket, then practically screamed into the phone. Hello, please don't hang up, hello? Hi, Brad. Josephine hadn't planned what to say or why she had called. She's glad she had, but now the uncomfortable silence. Hey, Brad, how are you? My God, Jos, your timing is perfect. I just needed to hear your voice. They slipped back into their private universe, the place where the world fell quiet and only voices mattered. Braden realized that he couldn't mention that Lisa is in his bedroom. How can I explain that? There's no way I could. The last time I spoke about Lisa, we stopped talking for a week. Josephine will never understand. Hell, I don't understand myself. Jose, I woke up on the floor this morning. I must have fallen asleep while we were talking. The last thing I remembered was something about watching the sunrise. I know, I fell asleep too, but I felt like you were with me the entire time. I loved it. Somehow, whatever had happened or was happening did not affect them. It seemed that they were in their own private universe where only they had voices while the world was quiet. Beautiful place that they have created in their moments. Pebby, I am having a crazy day, and I'm waiting for the window guy to come to fix my broken window. Josephine broke out into a hysterical laugh when she remembered what Brad had to do to get into his own house. I'm sorry, Brad. You have to admit it was damn funny, but also it was really sweet. Hey, Anthony and I are going to a movie later. Really, that's a lot more fun than waiting for a window guy. What movie are you going to see? Don't laugh, Anthony picked the movie. We are going to see Dune. Shut up! No way I want to see that movie. It's a remake of a late 70s classic. No surprise that Broaden was a sci-fi fan and a movie like Dune was right up his alley. Well, just hop into your car, then drive down. I will wait for you. I will buy the popcorn, Layard. Josephine has waited for someone for most of her life. She never thought that Broaden would be the someone she had yet to meet. Peb, if you wait for me, then I will be there. Most likely not today, but I promise I will be there. Beep beep, Brad's phone has 1% battery life left and it will die anytime soon. Shit, my phone, it's about to die. Peb, if we get hung up, you will know why. Hey, you got your phone back, I thought you left it at the office. How did you get it? Brad's phone died in the middle of the sentence. Hello, Peb. She's gone, my phone died perhaps just in time. What would I tell her anyway? I managed to get my phone back from the office because Lisa dropped it off. I can't say that Lisa just happened to drop by the house with my coat and phone on New Year's Day morning. Oh God, Lisa is still upstairs. This is a mess. Broaden headed back upstairs, waiting for the next scene to be played out. This was not what he had in mind for the first day of the new year. Someone was pulling all the stings and Broaden felt like a puppet, as if he had lost control of his domain. Broaden stood in the doorway for a long moment, feeling the weight of what had closed and what had opened. Brad, are you still there? Josephine had an uneasy feeling and it was regurgitating in her stomach. She couldn't put her finger on it exactly. What was causing her queasy feeling, but it's there. How did Brad get his phone back when he told me he left it at the office? Maybe he went back to get it this morning. Why do I keep asking these meaningless questions? Come on, Jose, stop thinking so much. I'm tired, that's all. That must be it. Josephine went to take a shower and hoped that it would re-energize her mind and body before sitting through a movie that she knew would be a disaster. Bradley, where have you been? I almost fell asleep, and Bailey here kept me warm and cozy. He is fat, but he's like a hot water bottle with lots of hair. I love it. Broaden stood by the door, seeing Lisa comfortably at home on his bed. It may sound crazy, but he wished that Lisa would just get up, slap him across the face, and then leave. Hey, my phone died. I was on a call, then I got cut off. Anyway, geez, Bradley. Did somebody die? You look depressed or tired or both. Who was on the phone anyway, your girlfriend? Lisa didn't know a thing about Broaden's other life. She had never heard of Josephine. Since she had lost her mind over Amanda, the bartender at the party, when there was nothing to be upset about, imagine what Lisa would think of Brad's Josephine. A woman behind a veil that Brad has never met, but is completely in love with from a digital world. In Lisa's world, that's something worth killing for. Somewhere else, Josephine stood under running water, trying to wash away a feeling she couldn't name yet. The year had begun, and nothing was simple anymore.